from WBRI 1500 in Indianapolis.
The Martin Bender Dan Sheeran Show.
It's Monday.
What are you so happy about? Thank you, everybody. It's Monday. What are you so happy about?
I'm not happy. I'm actually very disturbed.
Why?
You know, did you ever see that capsule that some school teacher invented, a capsule that you take before you go on an airplane?
You know, I don't know.
Because airplanes
about
got all
it.
These germs. So somebody invented this. Like, it's like a vitamin C pill that you're supposed to take before you get on an airplane.
Really?
And I've heard it doesn't work. Some say it does. To keep from getting all these diseases when you get on an airplane.
I see.
All right. I wish they can give you a pill to put up with preachers you hear on an airplane.
Oh, no. Not that.
I was recently on a flight, and I got to tell you the story. It was very disturbing. But I'm sitting there enjoying, you know, my germ zone on an airplane.
Mm-hmm.
And behind me, there's a row, three seats in a row, and there was a young kid on the window seat, and there was a preacher on the aisle. And there was this poor innocent bystander in between them, and they didn't know each other. But all of a sudden, a conversation struck up. And the conversation, and you couldn't help but hearing him. I mean, they're sitting right behind me. You have no choice but to hear it. But it turns out that the man on the aisle was a pastor at some conference, and the guy in the window seat was a young man who was going to a seminary. And they started talking, and I decided, well, I hear the word Jesus, and I got to listen up.
See, you chose to listen.
I have to listen, because you want to hear what they're talking about. And, you know, maybe they're a kindred spirit.
You just couldn't help
like
it. You couldn't help it.
Well, finally, the guy in the center said, "You guys want to sit next to each other? I'll move over, you know."
"You guys want to sit next to each other? I'm going to jump out of the plane."
I don't know how kind it was, because he got out of the middle seat and got to sit on the aisle. So
it should have been a strong hint to those two religious dudes.
Anyway, so they're talking, and I'm listening, and I'm hearing this young man in awe over this PhD pastor who was a Bible graduate. He's talking about his credentials. Of course, they always talk about their credentials, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going on and on. They're talking about the historical Jesus, and the church father says this, and history has proven this, and you know, the church fathers say this, and the church fathers say that, and the church father, and I'm going on and on listening to this, and finally I said, "Who the hell cares?" I could not believe what I was listening to. Here was a man who's supposed to be a representative of God, and he has this young man captive, and not one time did I hear him teach the scriptures to this young man or brag about the accomplishments of Jesus Christ.
Well, he didn't have time to. He was bragging about his accomplishments.
Everything was about his research and his education. And I want to point something out here. As people, and I listen to this man, he reminds me of many of the gentlemen I know who have gone to seminary, is they love the church fathers. You know what the Martin Luther called the church fathers?
Are we on a seven-second delay? Are you allowed to say it on the air?
The church babies. And he was right.
Martin Luther said that, really.
And I'm going to show you from the scriptures why you cannot go back to the first century or the church fathers to find purity of doctrine and practice. You learn from the church. Have you ever read the church fathers?
I've read the church mothers, but
okay,
never the
not
fathers.
The mothers. Okay. The church fathers, if you ever want to know what the Bible doesn't teach, read the church fathers in the creeds of Christendom. Okay?
Well, I'll tell you, read it and tell me what it says.
I don't want to read it anymore, but I'm going to read you from 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says this. Verse 15, he says, "Of this you are aware, that all those in the province of Asia were turned away, are turned from me." Did you hear that? This was in Paul's own lifetime. Now, when Paul says they've turned from me, it is a personal thing, but it also is connected with the messenger. Because the Lord places great emphasis on the Lord's message and the Lord's messenger. and Paul was the chosen apostle of the nations. And in Paul's own day, they were turning away from him and what he taught. So what does that tell you about the church fathers?
I don't know. I'm sorry.
It tells us to go back what we said last week. We have to go back to the original scriptures themselves to find truth. Not the church fathers, not in the traditions of men.
I'm all for that. No traditions. Right. These people left Paul. Why did they leave Paul? What was so horrible about Paul's message that these people forsook Paul? I mean, he was famous, right? This is the great apostle Paul.
I think first and foremost, the thing that upset religious people were upset because the first thing that Paul's message teaches is that regardless of race, education, or any of those fleshly things, a man is justified gratuitously by God's grace through the deliverance which is in Christ Jesus.
Few people realize what I'm about to say.
What's that?
It has to do with what you just said. So don't get that nervous look on your face.
I'm not nervous. I'm just overwhelmed at your splendor and your knowledge. Go ahead.
Paul had a PhD, too.
Did he really?
Yes, he was very well educated. Just threw an almond at me.
Go ahead.
Stop that. Okay, where was I? Oh, Paul had a PhD. I don't know what it was called back there, but he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And yes. There was a day when if you were flying from Jerusalem to Damascus next to Saul, he would have regaled you with his literary accomplishments, much as these men of God regaled that poor innocent victim there. And this is what Paul says in Philippians 3. And this accent is totally accurate, by the way. I studied this. Am even I having confidence in flesh also? If any other one is presuming to have confidence in flesh, I rather in circumcision the eighth day of the race of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in relation to law, a Pharisee, in relation to zeal, persecuting the ecclesia. In relation to the righteousness, that's the way he said it too. He had to roll the R's. In relation to righteousness, which is in the law, becoming blameless.
That was very good.
Thank you. That was his pride. That was Saul saying that. Now, here's what Paul says when he ripped up his PhD. But things which were gained to me, those things I just mentioned, these I have deemed a forfeit because of Christ. But to be sure, this is verse 8 of Philippians chapter 3, I am also deeming all to be a forfeit because of the superiority. Something is superior to everything he just mentioned, all these advantages in the flesh he had in the soul, the superiority of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, because of whom I forfeited all, and am deeming it to be refuse, garbage, that I should be gaining Christ and may be found in him. Here was the shocking thing for a Pharisee to say, not having my own righteousness, which is of law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. Now, if that man had talked to that kid on the airplane, his life would have been changed.
Yes. So what you're saying is the first part of Paul's speech was the guy on the plane.
That's the guy on the plane.
Okay.
That's right. That's very good that you picked that up.
Notice he keeps saying he's bragging about his accomplishments in verse 4 to 6. And then from verse 7 to 9, he's bragging about the accomplishments
of
Christ.
Yeah, he turns a corner.
And see, the reason why I think people want to always get into this church father stuff, because it makes them feel important that they have done all this research.
And they can quote somebody, yeah.
And they can do all this research, and there's a pride of association with your education. Now, we're not against education in general. Religious education stinks to high heaven.
What do you really think of it?
I think it stinks to high heaven.
It does.
It because you've already started off on the wrong foot. And where should education begin? It should begin on your knees in your room with an open Bible, first of all. That's where it should start. Because this is where you gain this, as Paul puts out here, the superiority of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord.
That is superior to all the accreditations or anything you can get from a formal education.
Yeah. So verses 7 through 11, Paul, this superior knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, I wish we could put that in a little bottle and give it to people before they get on airplanes.
So like would, a pill, yeah.
Yeah, like a pill. So I wouldn't get the you wouldn't get those germs.
The germs that can cause bad doctrine. Out of five doctors surveyed recommend the evangel that you and I are bringing to people.
Yeah. Yeah, this is one great topic for a Monday. Sorry to press you.
Who, me?
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah, I didn't know what you were going to do today at all.
I didn't either.
In fact, he told me. He was almost ready to tell me what he was going to talk about when we turned the mics on. And then he said, no, I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to do it. I'm just going to let you be surprised.
Yeah. And in closing, you know, as we're getting close to the end here, we're almost there. I want to make sure. But I want you to notice what Paul exchanged. Paul gave up religion for a person. He gave up something for somebody. Christianity is Christ. It's all about a person. We receive a person. We're proclaiming on this program somebody and his accomplishments. We're telling you that God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has accomplished something, and that's what we should be bragging about. Anybody who's a servant of the Lord, when they're sitting on an airplane with a young man, they should be telling about the church fathers. They should be bragging about the accomplishments of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they should be glorying and boasting in, not boasting in the flesh. And that was a form of flesh boasting, because that young man left there with the impression, what a great preacher that's on this plane.
I think you and I need to do an airplane ministry. I think we should just have people send us money. We can fly all over the place,
yeah,
and we can sit. Make sure we sit next to each other, and we'll always talk about the accomplishments of Christ, and whoever's in the middle is going to get the blessing. That way we can undo all this evil that's out there that's happening on all these flights, right? I mean, airplane ministry.
It's an airborne disease that we need to cure. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, we're going to undo the damage done by that. I suppose we're doing that by getting on the airwaves, but we need to go amongst the people.
Yeah, the cure to the Christian religion is Christ. The cure to all these false doctrines is Christ.
Yeah, that's all we need to say.
Did you hear? I hope somebody didn't take that wrong. When we say the Christian religion, what do we mean? When we say the Christian religion is perverted, what do we mean by that?
Perverted?
What is the Christian religion?
Did we say that specifically?
Well, I just did. What is the Christian? When we say Christian religion, what are we talking about?
We are talking about the institution, right? We're talking about the organized, visible church.
Yes.
We're talking about that church which puts forward works rather than Christ.
Yeah.
What else? Am I missing something?
Lots of money.
Money.
Marketing plans.
Yeah, marketing. We don't have marketing or money.
Or money.
We do have plans.
We do have plans.
Yeah, we do have plans.
We do have plans.
But that's about it. We have zeal.
We have zeal.
And we have been with Christ. That was Peter and James and John's qualifications when the Sanhedrin looked at them and said, who are you guys? They marveled that they were unlettered and plain men, but they had been with Jesus. That was the big thing. Yeah, that's always a good thing. If you can be with Jesus, that trumps.
How do we do that? How do we be with Jesus today?
We got 30 seconds left. You're going to tell us how to be with Jesus in 30 seconds?
No,
can you save it? Can you save it till tomorrow?
How
do we be with Jesus? I would say probably, I don't know for sure right now. I have to think about it, and I'll talk about it tomorrow.
This is Dan Sheridan.
I'm Martin Zunder.
You can find us at paulsevangel.com or give us a call at 847-312-4676.
We'll see you tomorrow, folks. Thanks.
Bye-bye.